everyone, and welcome to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. This is our 21st episode, and today I'm joined by Courtney. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, everyone.
Now, Natalie had some life stuff, so she wasn't actually able to join us today, but Courtney and I are going to take care of you guys, and we're actually going to be talking about Season 3 and the trailer we just got a couple days ago, so that's all very exciting.
Yay! That we've all watched how many times? Everyone be honest.
Yeah, a lot. Like, the first day it came out, I think I watched it, like, at least a dozen times.
I think I lost count. We're not going to tell anybody, except for everyone listening.
Yeah. So as usual, you guys can contact us in a number of ways. First of all, on Twitter, you can contact us at NATW Podcast. On Tumblr, it's notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. And you can email us at natwpodcast@gmail.com. What we thought about doing today is we're going to talk about 10 things we already know about Season 3, and then we're going to jump into the trailer. So, first up, the major thing, I guess, with Season 3 is that we now have an Alpha Pack to deal with, so that's all very exciting. And with the Alpha Pack, we have Deucalion, who is the leader. We have Kali, who is the female Alpha, and she tends to fight with her feet, her clawed feet, so that's kind of different and interesting. We've got the Alpha Pack twins, Ethan and Aiden, and we've got Ennis, who is sort of a big brute of a werewolf. So which character are you most looking forward to, Courtney?
I actually got this in an ask on the Tumblr, and I may have cheated and did a two-for-one with the twins. I'm just really excited because I think, well, maybe it's because they've been hyped a little bit more than the other three, I do believe, and we've gotten more interaction with Charlie and Max on the Twitter, but it's, I don't know, I'm excited to see all of them, really, and especially with the trailer that we just got, and so much more new things that have popped up that we didn't really think about before, that we'll get into later. I don't think I could pick one. I mean, can you?
It's really hard because, like, my go-to answer is Kali because I think she is just totally badass and awesome, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited to see her kick everyone's butts, which I know is kind of bad because she's, you know, a bad guy, but she just looks amazing, and I love female characters that can really take care of themselves like that. But then I think, well, okay, I love the twins. I love, you know, especially Ethan, like what might be in store for him this season. And Deucalion is like, okay, Gideon Emery, like he's just amazing. And his voice, he's just so incredible. I don't know. I'm really excited about him too. So
I agree. I think it's one of, you know how some people say, okay, I can just watch this show on mute and it's going to have the same effect, you know, when they tease about people, like good-looking characters or whatnot.
Yeah.
I think with this, I could probably just close my eyes and listen and I'd be just fine.
Yeah, exactly. So the Alpha Pack is definitely going to cause some problems. So far, we pretty much know that they're up to no good. They want, you know, according to the trailer, Deucalion wants Derek to kill one of his pack members, and once he does that, then Deucalion says that Derek will kill all the other ones too. And I think the thing is that they want Derek to join their pack. That's definitely, in the beginning, I think that's going to be their main goal. And so that sort of made me wonder if they have to kill their betas in order to join the Alpha Pack. Because I'm not really sure how that works, because we were told that there are going to be some betas. But then again, Jeff Davis said there aren't, and I don't know if he was just trolling us or not. So that's sort of confusing. I don't know. Do you have any theories about that?
Maybe they can't bring in, when you bring in an alpha into an already existing alpha pack, maybe they have to come in unattached.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that they can, you know, once you're in the existing pack, maybe that's where they have betas of their own once they're in the pack, but coming into the pack, like pre-existing, I would imagine maybe not. If that makes any sense at all.
Like, almost like they have to share betas or something?
Yes.
That sounds naughty, though.
Well, okay. Headcanon accepted. Thank you.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think the Alpha Pack, there's a lot there that we still don't know, which I think is a good thing seeing as they're the major threat for this season. So I'm just really excited to see what all of their motivations are and that sort of thing.
I agree. I think it's going to be fun watching. Well, fun is going to be a subjective term, but
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Painfully,
yes.
Maybe. So then our next point here is that Derek's going to be less sad. Hooray!
Woo!
Yeah, and so we have a couple of interesting things here. First of all, we know that he's going to have a love interest with Hayley Webb as the actress. Now, is she playing the teacher? Was that her?
Yes, Miss Blake.
Oh, okay. All right, yes. That's cool. Yeah, and there's some interesting thought, I guess, that is behind that. I think you were the one that put that up on our Tumblr.
Yes, I did, because I was typing up the notes for this, and I was like, wait a minute. Holy crap. Basically, the thing, I mean, Jeff has said that the book On Fire is not necessarily all canon. In fact, we don't know how much of it he would take and toss out and how much of it he would keep. But in the book, Kate Argent was a substitute swim coach at Beacon Hills. So Derek gets involved with a authority figure in the education system, and now his new possible love interest for season 3 is the English teacher, and I thought that was an interesting coincidence.
Yeah, might have a thing for teachers.
Oh, God. Oh, somebody, I think somebody had said something about playing hot for teacher on the post. I was like, oh, no.
Well,
Yeah.
Interesting. But hey, at least Derek's older now, so it's not, you know, quite so weird.
Yeah, not so much of an age gap.
Although, it still feels kind of weird because it's almost like Derek's the father of, like, all these werewolves, and, you know, he's dating their teacher, and I just have a feeling like they're gonna be
like, oh, dad, gross!
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no!
Although, I will have to say, Miss Blake looks really cool. I mean, we only got a snippet of her in the trailer, mm-hmm. But I'm really excited. She just seems like
there's just something
super,
there, yeah.
It's so hard to explain. She just really cares about the students, and, I mean, obviously, like, this whole flock of crows fly in. Oh, I guess that wasn't in the trailer. That was in the sneak peek. But this whole flock of crows fly in, and she's sort of, like, helping the students and everything and not just running away. So I guess that's,
I think
it's
very
good.
Telling. Yes, I agree.
And then the other thing with Derek is that he's got his own apartment now. Yay! And it's got real furniture and everything.
I can't help but think, okay, here we have a Derek Hale tale, in which happiness comes in the form of a successful day of dumpster diving. And I can't help, is this all that it's going to take for Derek to be less sad? Can we maybe petition Jeff to get Derek on The Price is Right? We can win the man a new fridge and maybe a jacuzzi.
Yeah. Oh, does he have a fridge?
I don't see. These are things we need to know.
Yeah.
Where does he put the night, you know, the spoils from the night before?
Oh, jeez. Out hunting.
I mean, there's you know, does he have an oven for his rabbits?
Yes.
I mean, come on. It's just we need to know this.
That's perfect. Yeah. And then okay, so this is sort of an interesting one. Now, I don't remember exactly how it goes. Did we find out that there's definitely going to be, like, Derek's definitely going to learn that Peter isn't the only one that survived the fire?
Actually, I don't think this is confirmed. There's been a lot of speculation. I think a lot of people picked up on Cora's character, how she's, you know, she's been on her own a lot. She has ties to, you know, werewolves and then pair that with, I think there was something online where there was a screenshot of the police report from the fire, and it referenced that there was maybe more than just Peter that survived the fire, because Derek and Laura weren't at the house, so they wouldn't have counted those two.
Right. Okay, and yeah, I remember the numbers didn't, like, match
up. Yeah, and then that paired with this, you know, the shot with Cora and Derek in his loft, I guess maybe he's training her or the like. So it doesn't seem like she'd be a part of the Alpha Pack, though that is left to be known. So I don't know, a lot of people are thinking that we're going to have a long-lost Hale.
I would be totally okay with that. I think that would be really awesome. Unless she dies.
Oh!
Then that would suck.
Just twist the knife, Karen.
Sorry.
Okay, moving on. Speaking of Derek being less sad.
Oh, yeah, maybe that wasn't the best place to put that. But really, I mean, either way, Cora looks really cool, and it would be awesome if she was, like, a cousin, or I don't know if, like, he would really have another sister or something. I'm thinking cousin would maybe be more likely, but yeah, that would be really interesting, and he'd definitely have, you know, family that wasn't as crazy as Peter is.
Unless she dies.
True. Okay, moving on. This is something that I think is going to make a lot of people happy. We have this whole Danny and Ethan dynamic going on. Ethan's one of the Alpha twins, and he's going to have a relationship with Danny. And the big question here is Ethan's feelings for Danny genuine, or will they become genuine? And I think that's actually one of the things that people are looking forward to most. I would really love it. And I know Natalie and I have talked about it on the podcast before.
Yes, I agree. I really want that. And I think it'd be interesting to have him, like, start a relationship with not so good intentions and then it evolve into feelings. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, the tagline for Danny is everyone loves Danny. And how can you not?
It's so, those dimples.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And even a dangerous alpha werewolf should love Danny. And anyone who can willingly and maliciously hurt Danny is a special kind of evil. And I think even Kate and Peter would side-eye him for hurting Danny.
Wow, yeah, that's quite a bit.
Like, bad form, what are you doing?
This isn't actually one of the things we'll bring up when we talk about the trailer, so I guess it's safe to bring up here, but in the trailer, Danny was hurt, and he's going in the hospital, and Ethan is there with him, and I didn't actually catch that the first time around, but when I watched it again, I saw it, and I kind of, like, did a little dance because I was really excited.
Oh, fandom's on that. They had screenshots within minutes. Yes, it was awesome.
So that definitely lends, you know, credence to the theory that perhaps he is falling for Danny.
Mm-hmm. Which, yay!
I know Natalie just wants him to be good and to decide to go against the Alpha Pack and everything, so maybe that will happen.
Hopefully it's both of them. I don't want to see the twins split up.
Yeah, that would be sad.
So we will see.
All right, so another big thing is we all know that Jackson isn't coming back. Colton Haynes is now on Arrow, so no more Teen Wolf for him for now. Of course, they've left the door open for him, so maybe it'll allow him to come back at some point. Mm-hmm. But we also won't have Erica, which I think is also disappointing, but maybe less so than Jackson because she wasn't quite as big of a deal in the storyline. But then again, she was sort of turning into, like, how Isaac sort of transitioned into this better person. Erica was finally getting to that point. So it is sad that we won't be having her. But how do you feel about neither one of those guys coming back for season 3?
I mean, I'm really sad. But the thing is we know with Colton, like you said, they're leaving the door open in a way. So should he ever decide to come back, they can write him in. So it's not like we're going to come back and Jackson's going to be killed off. It's nothing like that. Like, for Erica, we don't know. 90% of fandom are assuming that she's going to be killed. Mm-hmm. And even they've said that, I'm not sure what interview, but they describe Boyd as, you know, starting the season as a man scorned. So does this relate to Erica? Is he wanting to avenge her? So I don't know. I mean, regardless, I'm sad that we're not going to get her back because, yeah, she was growing. She had a lot of potential and growing into a character that I think really had lasting power for the show. So that's sad.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jackson, my biggest disappointment there, I think, is, I mean, of course, I'm, you know, not excited he's not coming back or anything because I think he had added a lot to the show. But what's disappointing for me is that we've heard that it's sort of going to be not a throwaway line, but it's just a quick line to explain his absence, and then we're sort of going to move on.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, truly, like, that's all they really can do at this point, so it's not like I'm upset with the writers or anything like that, but it's just sad that we couldn't give him a proper send-off, mm-hmm. even if it is only a temporary send-off, we hope. But the story is that perhaps he's in London, which I guess is a reference to American Werewolf in London, which mm-hmm. I think is hilarious. I mean, we all know how much Jeff likes to
be snarky.
Yeah. That, and, you know, reference his favorite movies and TV shows mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, so... if he ever does come back, I'll be interested to know what he's been doing in London for so long.
I agree. Maybe he'll have picked up an accent.
Oh, that would be cool. So with Erica, I'm sort of the opinion that she's going to die. I think that it would add a lot to the show and show that, you know, not everybody's going to survive, because she really was a huge character in season two. She was in nearly every episode, and she added a lot to it. And to have her killed off, I think, like you said, with Boyd, it's going to be significant. And the other interesting thing is that I actually didn't realize this, but somebody was mentioning that one of the sneak peeks we got, one of the short, like, 16-second clips that drove me crazy, by the way, because you cannot write a story for Hypeable with 16-second clips. Let me just put that out there,
MTV.
Yeah. Next time, give us a little bit more.
Thanks.
But one of the clips, the one that really focused on Lydia, Styles was saying, you know, they're going to find her beaten and broken and her neck sliced or something like that. And a lot of people are like, what if he's talking about Erica and not necessarily Lydia? You know, what if it's red herring? And I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. That's quite good. So maybe it is in reference to that.
Maybe so.
There's just so much we don't know.
Yeah, well, we're just totally going off of, you know, 2.5 minutes of footage and
yeah.
9 months worth of interviews, which isn't as much as you'd think.
Yeah, really. Especially when they tend to talk about the same stuff and you're like, okay, heard this, next one.
Moving on, please. Thanks.
Yeah. This next one is about Scott's tattoo. And I think this was really surprising for me, at least, because I didn't realize that... Well, first of all, story behind it, if you guys don't know it. Tyler Posey, who plays Scott, got a tattoo. And instead of, well, another tattoo, he's got several, but it's two bands on his arm. And instead of covering it up, Jeff decided to write it into the show, which I think is really cool. And I guess I didn't realize, maybe nobody realized at first, that it's going to be sort of a big deal, because I think Tyler said up until the 9th episode, he still didn't know what it meant. And that was kind of mind-blowing for me, because, I mean, the first episode is titled Tattoo. I figured, okay, they'll introduce the tattoo, we'll know what it means, and we'll figure out how he gets it and that sort of thing. But this is actually going to be kind of a big mystery for the whole season.
Which may lead to it being a much bigger deal than we would think. So yes, agreed.
Which would be cool, because I always like it when they add new stuff like that. I mean, we've obviously, our last episode was all about the mythology and that sort of thing. We've talked before about all the symbols they use and that sort of thing. So anytime they add more mystery and more mysterious symbols to the show, I always get really excited.
I agree. And they've also said that we are going to be getting more, I think finally learning more about Derek's tattoo, which, you know, I'm sure everyone has been eager to learn more about since they first saw it. Learning more about the tattoo was the first thing on my mind when I saw the tattoo. Guys, respectful fan here, okay? I'm all about the education and learning and meanings, uh-huh.
Me too, definitely. Moving on.
Next topic.
Next topic is Lydia. Apparently, Lydia is going to discover her power this season. And I guess this was a discussion that they actually had today at the MCM London Expo. And I actually haven't gotten a chance to read this at all. So why don't you take over that?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anything on video. There was a couple of recaps on Tumblr. And they said that Holland had made reference to the fact that Lydia is going to be discovering her power in season 3. So we know that there's an immunity, but there was never really any talk of a quote-unquote power, which I think has gotten a lot of people excited. I know I'm excited. There's been a lot of discussion in our Ask box and on the Tumblr itself about Lydia's overall storyline. I know that there was a lot of worry in the fandom that Lydia is just being used as a stereotype and that Jeff really doesn't have bigger plans for her character. And I really think, like, as we're getting these little tidbits, that it's not the case at all. And I think we're going to see amazing things from Lydia, and it's going to be one of those things where when you're rewatching seasons 1 and 2, you're going to be telling yourselves, how did I not see this before? Because I think we've been given a lot of small hints, and there's been talk of druid mythology with Lydia, and it really all makes sense, and I'm really hoping this is the direction they go, or something similar.
Me too, because I've never thought of Lydia as a stereotype. She's always been sort of a conundrum to me, because she's this super popular, super gorgeous, fashionable girl, and yet she's insanely intelligent, and she sort of hid that fact for a while, but now she's sort of embraced it, which I think is wonderful, and it's a good role model for a lot of people. So I never really saw her as a stereotype, and I love that Jeff said Lydia was sort of just a regular character, and then she became incredibly significant throughout season 2, and then obviously, like you said, we're going to be learning more about her, so I'm really excited about that too. Now, this might be a good point to bring up the screams. We've heard that on the season 2 commentary, Jeff said that Lydia's screams are a clue to season 3. And he said they use the same scream throughout all of season 2. It's the same one. Whenever you hear her scream or anything like that, it's that same one, I think, from the first episode when she's in the shower. Mm-hmm. And this is just, I've heard on our Tumblr, I saw that we had some people thinking that maybe she's a banshee or yes, something like that, because it has something to do with death, like they scream when somebody's about to die or something.
Yes, yes. There was lots of talk of banshees, druids, and I want to say sirens was another one that we had gotten. But I really think a lot of people are leaning towards druid and banshee now, and I think the scream thing, and that's another thing, the scream, a lot of people were making jokes saying, oh, she's just the girl that screams all the time, she's helpless, and that's what they're trying to make her out to be. And I was like, no guys, no, I think there's just so much more to it, and now I'm just getting really excited, because it seems like, you know, we're being told that there's more to it. So
yeah, and my friend's watching season 2 right now, and so I've been kind of, she was over here today, and I was kind of in and out of the room, and I noticed that when she was watching it, when Lydia first screams, it's right before Peter's hand comes out of the drain and grabs her, and then she screams again when she sees Peter under the ice, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, any instances when she's screaming and what's happening, and those are the two that I just happened to see today. But I'm sort of wondering if it has something to do with Peter or something to do with, gosh, I don't know. I mean, there's just so much there, but I thought that was, you know, at least one connection that was sort of like, I'm just trying to keep in the back of my mind.
I wonder if anybody has put together like a YouTube video or just a video kind of matching up all the screams back to back.
Oh, that would be
cool. We've
gotten
so far to see how similar they are. I would really love it if somebody would do that. So if anybody's listening and wants to put that together, I would love to hear it.
Yes, tweet us, NATW Podcast, tweet us.
Yes, or send the link to the Tumblr. That would be mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yes, and the other thing is, in the trailer, she says, I don't know how I found that body. And to me, that was really significant. And she actually screams, I'm pretty sure that was her screaming in the trailer, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, all right, I feel like all the evidence is in front of me, and I just can't put it together.
Which is just perfect. That's exactly what Jeff wants, and I love it.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It. He's an evil man, but brilliant.
Yes, most of them are.
Yes.
And the other really interesting thing, too, is that we're going to be getting some flashbacks of Derek as a teenager. They've cast young Derek and young Laura as well as Talia, who's Derek and Laura's mother. And I'm really excited, first of all, just anything to do with Laura. I'm just, for some reason, I'm fascinated with her, and I really want to find out more about what she was like and what kind of relationship she had with Derek. But also their mom, she just, like, the actress who plays her is beautiful, and I just have a feeling that she's going to be this totally badass type of alpha werewolf mother. And I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, but the thing is, here's something to think about. We're told that there's going to be a lot of memory manipulation in the show in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things, is what if this flashback is a completely heartbreaking, like, altered and tampered with memory that's going to leave us dead on the inside?
No!
I'm sorry. But, I mean, yeah. I really hope that it's a good flashback, and it's a good memory, and it's positive, and even seeing it positive and then having to come back to Derek being alone would just be heartbreaking all over again. But knowing, you know, what kind of relationship was there would be really interesting to see.
Right, yeah.
I'm such a downer.
That's okay. It kind of makes up for me earlier.
just trying to brace everybody, guys. Yeah, if you lower the bar, everything else is just gonna surpass happiness expectations.
Exactly. I mean, their tagline this season is "This might hurt," so we're just getting you guys ready.
I'm helping you out, MTV. Helping you out.
So we also know all of the episode titles up to episode 9, and they are in order: Tattoo, Chaos Rising, Fireflies, Unleashed, Frayed, Motel California, Currents, Visionary, and The Girl Who Knew Too Much. Those are all really exciting because we know how much the writers love to put double meanings in all of their titles. So I cannot wait to watch the episode and realize the two different meanings, because that's always really exciting for me.
Yeah, and knowing them ahead of time is going to be fun. I can imagine us trying to decode everything as we're watching. Like, okay.
I'm really excited to know about episode 9, which, of course, you know, it's so far away. But yeah. Who Knew Too Much is just, I don't know. I cannot really figure out who it could be about, because there's so many female characters this time around that, you know, it could be anybody.
I think I'm going to go ahead and put a name out there in the pool. I'm going to say Cora.
Ah.
I don't know why. Don't ask me to give you any meta behind it. I mean, I guess we're talking about spoilers, so I guess I can discuss this. We know the actress who plays Cora has gotten another show that has picked up, and on the CW, Rain.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep.
So we don't know if she's going to be coming back, which could lead us to believe that Cora doesn't stick around.
Exactly. And I mean, she's the lead in this show, so it's not like she's just going to be on one episode or something.
Yeah, I agree. So,
although apparently the show's already not doing too well. Like, it hasn't even aired yet, and they're, like, not sure about it right now. So, hey, maybe she pull a Peter.
Oh, God. Well, the Hales do have a talent for resurrection, so could someone bring Laura back, please?
Oh.
Derek's like, they brought back the wrong Hale.
I know, yeah, really.
Jeez.
Well, okay. All right, 9th item on our list out of 10. We have a bromance triangle between Isaac, Scott, and Styles. Okay, so we heard that nothing's ever really going to come between Scott and Styles. I think there's going to be some tension, but I don't think we have to worry about them, like, suddenly not being friends or something like that. Because I think Scott just can connect with Isaac on a level that he can't connect with Styles, because Styles isn't a werewolf. But that doesn't mean that he's totally going to ditch Styles completely, so...
I'm sorry, I got distracted with me. I just got a message from Brooke. She's like, more spoilers just popped up on Tumblr. You may want to go look.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. Our
Tumblr?
Yeah, I'm posting it right now. When the season starts, Erica and Boyd have been missing for months. Boyd has been missing.
Oh.
Uh-oh. There's plenty of steric interaction. Oh, good lord. Okay. It says, when the season starts, Erica and Boyd have been missing for months, but Derek, Peter, and Isaac haven't given up looking for them. So Peter's been looking for them, too. The search nearly kills Isaac, and when he's rescued, things don't exactly improve for him. We'll see Isaac go through some pretty horrific things in order to find the missing members of his pack, not the least of which involves Peter's fingernail claws in his brain.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Sure.
And then there's another one. Derek doesn't live in his old ramshackle house anymore because the county took it. Oh, my God. But before he leaves it behind, he shares a meaningful scene with Scott and Stiles there. It's a powerful moment that reveals a lot about Scott's mindset right now and about what Derek endured to get the spiral tattoo on his back. I can't.
Okay.
Should we, like, at the end just be like, okay, and this just in?
I was just going to leave this as it is.
Oh, okay, we could do that too.
Initial reactions, why not?
So you guys get the first lifetime reactions.
I love, did Brooke write this underneath? You can find us over here curled up in the fetal position, ready to die.
I don't know. Brooke, what did you do? I mean, that commentary is not necessary. But I really wouldn't put it past her. Oh no, his house is taken away. That just kills so much fanfic.
Yeah, exactly. So much fanfic. Well, hey, maybe he'll get it back.
Died.
Maybe he'll get it back.
Maybe. Fingers crossed. And then he can rebuild.
Yeah. I really like this, though, about what Derek endured to get the spiral tattoo on his back.
Yeah.
You know what? That's really interesting what he endured, because we were wondering about the tattoos and, like, the werewolf healing and that sort of thing. Like, I wonder if they have to do something very specific to be able to get a tattoo.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody has said this, I guess this goes all the way back to the fic episode, but there's a, you know, somebody has a fic theory that there's a certain type of ink that's infused with, like, wolf's bane or something like that, that helps it stick. So that's, you know, that's a small fan theory, which would, you know, I wouldn't discount it.
Very interesting.
Okay, back on topic? Yeah?
Yeah.
Where were we?
I was just going to say that I really love Isaac, just putting that out there. I'm so excited for him in this season now that he's regular. I think he's amazing. And I'm really excited, too, for his relationship with Scott. And I think by the end of the season, maybe even the end of this first half of the season, Isaac, Scott, and Stiles are going to all become pretty close.
I agree. I am interested in seeing some initial, maybe, animosity from Stiles. And I just want Isaac to be like, dude, we can share him, you know?
That would be hilarious.
And, like, those two end up being, you know, getting close, you know, through Scott as well. I would like it to be all three of them, just this big, great Three Stooges relationship.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of humor from Isaac near the end of season 2, and I'd really like to see him playing off of Stiles and Scott, too. I think that'd be really funny.
I agree. So that's going to be interesting. The potential relationship between Isaac and our favorite hunter, Allison.
Oh, right.
And that, I think that's going to be very interesting to see how Scott handles that. If that is what's true, we're being led to believe that from the trailer. There's hints. But from what we're gathering, people are saying that Scott's going to have a surprising reaction to, you know, Allison's new love interest.
And if it's Isaac, that could definitely be a bump in the road for the two of them, for their friendship.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see how he handles that. If him and Isaac are really that close, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, you're dating my ex.
Yeah.
NBD, you know, no big deal. It's fine.
That's interesting, too, though, because, you know, for Allison, like, she needed time away from Scott and away from the craziness that was all the werewolf stuff going on. And here she is, you know, obviously we don't know anything yet, but potentially here she is going after another werewolf. You know.
Oh, Allison, you have a type.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. So then the last big thing we know about season 3 is that we're going to have more mythology this season, which I think everybody is actually really excited about, because one of the best things that Jeff and the writers do in this show is that they make the mythology so convincing, and they don't stick with the usual stuff. You know, mm-hmm. they kind of pull from everything. And if, you know, this happens to be the first episode that you're listening to, go back to episode 20. We just talked about a whole bunch of werewolf mythology that I think you guys are really going to enjoy. So definitely check that out. And yeah, so I'm really excited for all the mythology that's going to be on season 3 too.
Yes. And the fun thing is, it could be just such a wide variety of things, and I'm just really eager to see what Jeff has chosen to focus on.
Me too. And I think he pulls a lot from, like, Celtic mythology, mm-hmm. and I have a feeling that has to do with Deaton, at least in some respect, and I cannot wait to find out who or what Deaton is, because I think there is a whole lot more going on there than we have any clue towards.
Agreed. That's a whole other discussion. Yeah, Deaton. Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. All right, so next we have the trailer, which was amazing. What was your first reaction to the trailer when you saw it?
Silence. There you go. No, the funny story, I was at work when this happened. Yes, I have a boring 9-to-5 job, and I couldn't really escape to watch it unless I wanted to be embarrassed in front of all my coworkers. But I ended up watching it in my car after work before going to the gym, and I was like, holy crap, oh my god, what is going on? And so it took me a couple of views to really process.
Yes.
But other than just a bunch of caps lock brain exclamations, you know, that was my initial reaction.
I think holy crap came out of my mouth a lot too.
We're probably but not the only ones.
Yeah, there's so much going on in the trailer that, yeah, I think I played it and immediately replayed it because it was just like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah, and you have to watch it, like, image by image, just kind of to pick up everything that's going on, because they included so much in that trailer.
Yeah, and the awesome thing is I don't feel spoiled. I feel like they've given us snippets of things mm-hmm. to make us think about a lot, but I don't feel like I still have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
You know?
It's enough to make you think, but it actually kind of drives you crazy because it could be so many different things. It could go in so many different directions that you're just like, okay, I'm not even going to try. Just give me the show. Just,
yeah.
Come on, let's go.
Exactly. And I will say that, you know, writing for Hypeable and trying to cover the show as in-depth as possible, you tend to come across a lot of spoilers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are some things I know that isn't necessarily, like, totally out there, you know, whereas everybody knows, like, the stuff we've gotten from the trailer and that sort of thing. But it's not a whole lot. I mean, the show is not ruined for me at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a testament to Jeff and the writers and the social media team and everything that they do, is they're really keeping the mystery under wraps. And that's the best thing, because you don't want to ruin the show for anybody and give away those major twists.
Yes, it's like eating dessert before dinner. It's good at the time, but then you're just kind of full.
Yeah, good analogy.
Thank you. Just took a mental bow.
So yes, getting right into the trailer, the first thing that, well, okay, maybe it wasn't the first thing that I noticed, but one of the major things that I picked up on, and I was sort of asking everybody because I didn't actually see a lot of other people coming up with this right at first, but now I think everybody's they pretty much agree on the point that Deucalion looks blind.
Yes, glasses, and I think yeah. There's a cane at one point.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't catch that at first. I was like, oh, it's just a fashion accessory. And then, you know, every time I saw him on the trailer, I was, you know, I couldn't help but hum Corey Hart's "I Wear My Sunglasses at Night" whenever he came on. But I think when somebody had mentioned it and I watched again the scene where he's got Melissa mm-hmm. and his eyes are kind of murky.
Yeah. Yep.
I was like, this, I really think they're onto something, and that's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, I'm so confused though, because we know that obviously Gerard, he wanted the bite so he could heal from his cancer. So I'm thinking like he was blinded, Deucalion was blinded by Wolfsbane or something. I mean, it was something that he couldn't heal from. So there's definitely a story there.
Well, we know that there's certain things that they can't heal from. You know, if Styles had cut off Derek's arm, obviously it wasn't one of those things where it's like, cut it off, it's fine, it's going to grow back.
Yeah, exactly.
I am a werewolf starfish. But, I mean, we know that there are things that they can't heal from. So I think that would be possibly something that happened as a wolf.
Right. And I'm wondering if, I mean, in a way that sort of makes him more dangerous, because we know that people who are blind, their senses are heightened. And for somebody who's a werewolf, whose senses are already heightened, there's got to be a lot more going on there. So that could be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just seeing him kind of dodge Scott was fun.
And not even trying. You
yeah,
know?
There was no effort at all. It was just, nope. Oh, whatever.
You know how Natalie always goes on about how much she loves Peter and he's so classy? I have a feeling that's going to be me with Deucalion.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if those two would get along.
Oh.
Or they'd probably butt heads and have a sass off.
Let's see that, please.
Can we please have a sass off, Jeff, if this hasn't already been filmed and everyone's dead? We need a sass off between these two.
But you never know, they may come back to life, so. Post-mortem sass off.
Oh, God.
Moving on.
Next.
This is really cool. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even see this until I was on our Tumblr and people were going on pointing these things out. It just totally went right by me. But apparently, people are thinking that the Alpha Pack twins can combine into one werewolf. There's one scene in the trailer where you see this body sort of morphing, and it does look like two people are combining, the spines all weird and stuff. And then you see this other werewolf running by, and this werewolf literally has like a seam down the middle of his face, down his chest, and it looks like possibly two people have combined into one. I mean, how awesome is that?
I am just, it's one of those things, Jeff has said that the Alpha Pack is going to have unique ways of transforming into their alpha forms. And of course, you know, you don't really, there's scenarios that go through your mind, but then when you're with the twins and that coming up, you're just like, oh my God, that is, I would have never come up with that, but it's perfect and it makes sense. And I want to see how they film that if that is the case. And I just, and also, you know, the whole idea of, you know, everybody, there's talk about twins having special bonds and like that. I have a twin niece and nephew that are 5 years old, and I see the twin dynamic every day. And so I think that this is just beautiful is the one word that I could come up with. Like, it's just, I love it. Like, if this is really what's going on, I can't wait to see it.
I know. It's, yeah, like you said, how does he even come up with this stuff? It's just, it's incredible. And the thing is, like, when I first saw that one werewolf running through, I thought it was Ennis, because we were told that Ennis is this kind of big brute of a werewolf. But we saw him earlier in the trailer, and that's not what Ennis looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that just slipped by me the first time, but now I always look really closely and I'm like, nope, that's definitely somebody else. So yeah, I cannot wait to see how that comes about.
I agree.
So another thing we know that's going to be running through this season is memory manipulation. And the thing with that is a werewolf can give or take away memories by using their claws. And we know from a spoiler way, way back a long time ago, the first page of Tattoo, the first episode of season 3, it says that, you know, the alphas can take away or give memories that way. And I have a feeling that's going to be just a huge thing in this season. And one of the reasons why the Alpha Pack is going to be so dangerous, because I think everybody's going to have trouble realizing what's real and what's not real. Especially if you can implant memories in somebody's head. I mean, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, we have already got a lot of people freaking out about the trailer saying, oh my gosh, Melissa, you know, Mama McCall, she's dead. But then, like, wait, that could be a false memory. It could be tampered with. And then you get paranoid, like, well, what else is going to be a false memory? I think everyone's going to be watching this show, and they're going to have such false sense of trust.
Yeah, exactly.
Like side-eyeing the show. Was that real? No. They're going to be questioning every scene, wanting to know, you know, what was a real memory and what wasn't. So I think that's going to be a complete mind trip.
Yeah, as long as we don't get to like episode 12 and realize the whole season wasn't real.
Gosh,
like,
let's not pull a Breaking Dawn, guys. I can't. And I just completely admitted to everyone that I saw that movie.
Well, there, hey, I did too. So okay, all right, you're so not alone.
We share this embarrassment together.
Yeah. So I think, and maybe this is just me being naive and not wanting anything to happen to Mama McCall, but I have a feeling that that thing with Melissa was like a message, because Deucalion says, you know, I'm going to come for everybody that you love, and he kills her. And I'm just sort of wondering if that's like something Scott's seeing.
Yeah.
And it's just a message like, do what I want you to do, or this is going to be real.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just hope that it's that, because, I mean, what are our other options? Either it's a memory, either she's going to die, God, I hope not, or maybe she has to get the bite to be able to heal. I mean, maybe Scott's going to have to deal with that. I mean, that could be a whole nother twist, but I don't necessarily see them going in that direction, but I guess it's a possibility.
I agree. I think it's his way of, when you get threats from these, you know, bad guys or big bads or whatever, they kind of give you the threat and are like, okay, we're just going to let your imagination run away with that, like how this could play out. Mm-hmm. No. In this case, he's like, no, I'm going to show you. I'm going to burn the image into your brain. You're going to watch your mother die in your head before it happens. Can you imagine?
No. Like, poor Scott. Scott, oh, my God.
Oh, that's going to be horrible. And I'm so excited.
Well.
Well, guys, we know that we're all total masochists here. We're Teen Wolf fans. We haven't gone anywhere, so obviously we enjoy pain.
Yeah, I mean, we're growing in numbers, so, I mean, the show's getting more and more popular, so exactly. At least there's other people out there like us.
Join our pain.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into the next one, in that there's this possibility that Scott will be turning into an alpha. And we see near the end of the trailer that he's sort of, it looks like he's pushing against some sort of invisible barrier or something like that. I'm not really sure what was going on there, but his eyes turn from yellow to red. And that was sort of like an OMG moment for me, because I sort of saw it coming eventually, but I didn't really imagine it coming this soon.
Yeah, I think it's just, well, they had said that, you know, there have been hints in season two of an alpha of his own pack. And even though the official title wasn't there, there was no red eyes or anything like that. But Tyler had mentioned in an interview something about it doesn't necessarily take a bite from an alpha to become an alpha. And then it got me to thinking, I actually thought of this a few days ago, and it was one of those, oh my gosh, why didn't this click before? At New York Comic Con, when Jeff was being interviewed, he stated that there's a Shakespeare quote posted on the writer's room wall for season three theme. The one that says, be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. How freaking telling is that of an alpha status?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it was a light bulb moment. Like, he's talking about alphas. That's what, you know, it's in the writer's room. I mean, yeah, I'm just really excited.
And I think that's great that Scott, I mean, I was just listening to the commentary today for season two. And at one point in one of the scenes, I guess another unit was filming and they showed Scott like clawing at one of the hunters. And basically he had just killed a hunter. Mm. And when Jeff got the dailies, he was like, wait a second, we can't have our hero killing somebody. Like, no, we can't have that happen. And I guess that's something that I really like about Scott, is that he's so good and so pure, and he wouldn't do anything like that. And the idea of him becoming an alpha sort of, not an accident, but, you know, it's thrust upon him makes a lot of sense to me. And I think that they're going to build to this moment when it's appropriate, and I think that's just going to be really exciting.
I just got the chills. Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome.
Your jacket. Oh, yes. Okay.
Awesome. So, yeah, we sort of already talked about this. We can just mention it again in passing. But the whole Isaac and Allison possible relationship, I mean, I'm kind of excited for it. Like, the look they shared in the trailer was really exciting and sort of beautiful. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, wait. Because Scott obviously still loves Allison. We know Allison loves Scott. I mean, they shared a very significant look in the trailer, too. Mm-hmm. And Isaac's going to be basically best friends with Scott now, and I just...
And we don't want Isaac hurt either, because we're attached to him, and it's like, this is a whole new complication.
Yeah, exactly.
But exciting at the same time, so... And they could be completely throwing us off.
Oh yeah, totally.
They're like, hey, what if... Again, what if that's a memory manipulation and somebody's showing that to Scott just to get them all riled up?
Oh.
Like, hey, here's your new best friend and the love of your life. They're about to make out. Stew in that for a bit, Scott.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to trust anything.
Nothing. It's gone. Your trust is gone in this show.
Man. And speaking of not being able to trust something, that sort of leads us into the next one, because this didn't even occur to me until I read something on Blasted Tumblr, but the point where Scott's like, how am I supposed to stop him? He's talking about the Alpha Pack. You know, they're so strong. And, you know, how do you stop this huge force that's coming to Beacon Hills and is basically taking over? I mean, throughout the trailer, they're just beating up on everybody, you know. And he says, how am I supposed to stop them? And Deaton says, don't stop them. Lead them. And somebody was like, wait, hang on a second. Is that Scott? Or is that Derek he's talking to? And I was like, oh, you just had to go and say that, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like in the trailer when he says, I can't, or we can't stop them, I can't stop them. It sounds like it's Scott talking.
Yeah, so... I think it is Scott talking, but I'm wondering if they cut it, like cut the dialogue or something. And it's actually Derek he's speaking to face to face.
I think it could go either way. I mean, there's so much focus on Scott becoming an alpha and leading that it's the obvious choice. Scott is the obvious choice behind this. But, I mean, since when has Jeff Davis been obvious?
Yeah, exactly.
So, who knows?
And I think season 3, we're going to see not only a happier Derek, but I think we're going to see one that perhaps will take care of his pack a little bit better. I mean, he's lost Erica. I mean, she's not coming back. So whatever happens to her, we don't know. But she's not going to be there anymore. Boyd, I think, is going to be sort of going off on his own and being a little bit crazy. Isaac is becoming very close with Scott. And then Peter's nuts already. So you can't really rely on him too much. And I think Derek just needs to sort of collect himself and then maybe team him up with Scott a little bit more and gain his trust, and the two of them need to work together. And yes. I think, you know, so maybe Deaton is speaking to him and saying, you need to lead them. Maybe, you need to do what is right.
Maybe he's talking to both of them.
Oh, true.
Like, y'all are co-alphas of this pack here. It's like talking to Jackson and Scott about lacrosse. Like, they're the co-captains. Right. No, you're the co-alphas of this pack. We need you both to lead them. Oh, that would... Oh, the feels.
That would be really cool, actually, if they were sort of, like, co-alphas.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, this is a new thing I want. The only other thing I was thinking, the spoilers that just came up on Tumblr about when the season starts, they said that Boyd and Erica have been missing for months. Well, we saw in the trailer, it looks like Derek and Boyd are fighting.
Right.
So what if that was their first, you know, encounter after Boyd shows back up? You know, he pops back up, Erica's dead, and he's pretty much maybe feral at some point, you know. I don't know. I'm interested in seeing how Boyd comes back since he's been gone for months and he comes back without Erica.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Another thing I picked up on the season 2 commentary was, I'm pretty sure I heard this right. I even replayed it to make sure, but they were talking about the three new pack members in season two. So Erica, Isaac, and Boyd. Mm-hmm. And Isaac obviously had the abusive father. Erica had her epilepsy. And Boyd, they said, had a problem with his weight, which...
That I never picked never, up on that.
Me neither. And really? I don't think we were necessarily, like, meant to, because obviously we don't know a whole lot about Boyd, mm-hmm. but I'm just sort of wondering if, because we're supposed to be getting more background on Boyd in season three, so I'm wondering if somehow that's going to come into play or something, but I mean, no, Boyd...
I thought his was more his, like, financial, like, yeah. social status, and yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, because, I mean, Cinque Walls, the guy who plays Boyd, he's a good-looking guy. I don't know how they're going to pull off him, you know, struggling with his weight, unless it was when he was a kid or something, and maybe... You know,
everyone has their own mental hang-ups on physical things. You can't really... Just from what you see on the outside doesn't mean it necessarily matches how a person feels inside. Which, you know, if that is the case...
Right, exactly, yeah. And I mean, maybe that was something he struggled with when he was younger, mm-hmm. and then, you know, he lost all the weight or something, but nobody could really get past what he looked like when he was younger, and he was sort of a social outcast mm-hmm. when he was in high school and that sort of thing, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, but something else to just throw on the huge pile of things we don't know.
Basically, we've just talked about stuff that we can't, you know, only a few things we can confirm, the rest is just, I don't know.
Yeah, just making it up. But, and this episode's going to be going out on Monday, so a week from when you guys are listening to this, if you listen to it when we air it, it will be a week until season three. So, I'm so excited.
Are you prepared?
I'm not prepared, but that's kind of okay.
You need to get some tissues.
Yep.
Some chocolate, because our favorite werewolf, Lupin, says chocolate cures all.
That's true.
Let's see, what else? We just need to have all the comforts we can possibly have, because I have a feeling we're going to need them.
Yeah, the four of us, Brooke, Courtney, Natalie, and I, are probably going to be texting each other going, oh my god!
Did you see that?
Yeah. Yes, I'm watching the same thing you are.
Yeah, guys, if we're going to be probably oddly quiet on the Tumblr for that hour, and then it's going to be nothing but feels and tears and... so much lost emotion.
Yeah. We're not going to know what we do with ourselves.
We are not going to have the first clue. So, hey, we have a feeling you guys aren't either. So it's going to be just fine. We'll get through this together.
Yes, yes. All right. So basically what we're going to do when season three does air is Natalie and I, as per usual, are going to record about an hour-long episode following each episode of Teen Wolf, and we'll try to get that out as quickly as we can for you guys so that you can hear our discussions. We're definitely going to have guest hosts on again. I'm sure Courtney will be making a comeback several times because we love having her on there.
Oh, I love being here. It's been so fun.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to get, you know, Jonathan back maybe, and we'll set up some other really fun people. We've got a couple of new people, too, that we're thinking about bringing on, so hopefully that'll be exciting. But
and have we maybe talked about Chantel coming on again?
Oh, yes, we're definitely going to have her on again. She's already agreed to it. I'm thinking I would really like to have her on for one of the episodes where she's actually on the show.
Yes, that would be so much fun.
She could give us a little background, and we can actually, instead of just doing an interview type thing, we'll actually discuss the episode with her, so that'll be really exciting. And yeah, I mean, we're going to have lots of stuff going on for season three, so don't you guys worry, and we'll be here the whole time, so we can cry together.
Yes, come to us. We love everybody, and we'll all cry and flail and be messes together.
Yes. So don't forget that you guys can contact us on Twitter at NATW Podcast, on Tumblr at notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com, and through email at natwpodcast@gmail.com. So for now, until next week, I will say bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Oh, my God, I need more caffeine.
You have a problem, Karen.
Oh, it's just, it's there and then it's not.
The bands, the significance behind the bands. what do we think the...
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you. Yes.